This morning I'm going to be speaking about and reading to you John chapter 11 verses 1 through 44. If you could take a moment to turn there, if you have a pew Bible, it's on page 1124. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. It's very interesting because that happens in chapter 12. So they actually knew about what happened in chapter 12 here in chapter 11. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "I'll come right away. Don't worry." No, I'm sorry. It doesn't say that. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." What does that mean? I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it's an interesting little comment. You know, Jesus often says things that are like, "Huh? What do you mean by that? Why didn't you just say, it's not time yet?" Or, "You guys don't get it." Anyway, so he goes on. After you said this, he went on to tell, "But our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." So the really bright disciple said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." You know, if the kids are fussing and fuming and they don't feel well, and you can finally get them to go to sleep, it means they're going to get better, right? So the really brilliant disciple said, "He's already getting better." But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly. That's what they needed and what we often need. "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him." Then Thomas, also called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Those disciples, you know, they were willing to die with Jesus. They didn't understand. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for finally coming. It's wonderful to see you. I know now everything will be all right." Oh, sorry. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Thank you very much. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "Oh, sure, I know. I've been to church. I know what they talk about, the resurrection and at the end of the world and all that." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day." She'd been to Sunday school. She'd been well taught. Okay. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You've heard that before. These sisters were in agreement. Jesus was late. Okay. And Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping. You know, they had paid mourners in those days. You know, if you didn't have enough relatives to come and wail at your house, you could hire people, and they'd come for a week. It's true. I'm not making this up. It's true. Paid mourners. You have to have a certain disposition, I guess, to be a paid mourner, just somebody who's like naturally sad. And you get to be sad, but you get paid for it. You make a living at being sad. I know people like that. They just don't get paid. Anyway, where was I? When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. You see here the compassion of Jesus. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Verse 25, the shortest verse in the Bible. Tuck that away for Bible trivia. All the kids know that. Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, I love this, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? You know, there were even mockers around Jesus, right there. Jesus once more moved, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. See, he was dead. He was really dead. This was not a, you know, sort of a mystical story. These sort of details are in the Bible to tell us, give us some factual information, some indications that this was not a spiritualized story, that he was sort of in a coma, or maybe he just didn't breathe deeply. But he was actually in the tomb, and here's a little detail that's wonderful. Martha said, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I always want to shout that, Lazarus, come out, you know. Just, can you imagine just the words of Jesus and the power of God that came down in that moment. And that which was dead for 4 days and stunk. The Spirit of God revived the spirit of the man and the life came back into it and all the dead and decaying tissue, and I'll save you the details, was revitalized. We've never been able to do this with all of modern science. We've never been able to resurrect anybody from the dead. But Jesus just says the words and we are alive again. Praise God. And was this a resurrection at the last day? Which hasn't come yet, right? No, this is a resurrection when Jesus wanted to have a resurrection. And Jesus can have a resurrection anytime he and the Father agree. And this is the testimony that we have from the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection, that within him abides the power of God to bring that which was dead to life. And we could take great encouragement that we who, when we die in the physical life, in the natural sense, well, we too will be resurrected, not just because Jesus himself was resurrected, because he demonstrated he had power over death. Now, I want to say a few things in the way of some comments, an overview about this story, and then I want to go back through this story and look at some of the details, because it's a fascinating story. This is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, did you know this was not the first time that Jesus resurrected somebody from the dead? In the New Testament, you'll find that there are two other resurrections that Jesus did. This was like, you know, no big deal. He could do this. Mary and Martha had forgotten, I guess, because they weren't asking him, Lord, could you come and heal Lazarus? But if you're delayed and you can't make it in time and he dies, would you come and just raise him from the dead, please? And even if you can't come, would you just say a word at a distance and raise him from the dead from wherever you are? All of which Jesus did in the New Testament. There's one occasion where he raised a person from the dead just by saying to the Father, don't worry about it. And then he went home and found out in the same hour. the daughter was resurrected. So Jesus didn't have to come. He could have just said the word, but they wanted him to come. This verse, verse 25, which is the pivotal verse of this story, where Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. Powerful verse. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. We are eternal beings because of Jesus Christ. We have an eternal life. We have a life without end. This physical life may come to an end, but that's not the end of our existence. It's just the end of an old kind and the beginning of a new kind. And Jesus is in charge of that and has power over that. And this story demonstrates us. This story also demonstrates the reality of the resurrection of believers. It's not a spiritual thing put off that nobody has ever seen yet. There are actually now these documented resurrections. We know that when the Lord Jesus went on the cross and he died and he was buried in the tomb, that he was resurrected. Did you also know that at the same time that he was resurrected, it says, in, I believe in Matthew, it says, and there were many others who came up out of the grave when he was resurrected. So resurrections were no big deal in the time of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've heard stories. Of course, they're always on the mission fields way far, far away, where there are people today, or in, you know, recent history, who've been resurrected from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ. He's alive, and he's as powerful today as he ever was. And we can trust him with our very lives. Let's look at some of the details now in this story. First of all, who was Lazarus? Verse 1 tells us that he was a man from Bethany. Now, Bethany is a small town about 2 miles from Jerusalem. We know that. The verse, it's even told us that in chapter, verse 18. It's interesting, I don't know if you do this, and I encourage you to do this, that when you read a passage of scripture, go back and dig out the details. And that's what I'm going to do with you now. So something of a little study of this passage. What are the fine details? Verse 18, we know that Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And this is significant. The distances involved are significant because the messengers were sent from Bethany to Jesus. And then when he got the word, he stayed there for 2 days. And then it says when he got back, by the time he got to the tomb, it was 4 days later. There is no explanation for how long it took because the distances are so short. Jesus was under no rush to get back to Lazarus. We know from verse 3 that Jesus loved Lazarus. Mary and Martha, when they sent word to Jesus, said, Lord, the one you love is sick. Not just that. You remember this kind of guy? You know, this is the one you love. Now, would you think they were asking for special treatment? Jesus, the one you love is sick. You know, not just all the people in the world, but the one in particular that you love. But we do know, and it says that Jesus did love him. We know that Lazarus was related to Mary and Martha. Mary was the one that put perfume on his feet in chapter 12. After the resurrection of Lazarus, I've never made the connection before, but I have, it has occurred to me that the reason that she poured perfume on Jesus' feet, he said it was in preparation for his burial. But that was a short time after the resurrection of Lazarus, and perhaps it was partly out of gratitude for what Jesus had done. That it was such an extravagant gift. It says in the scriptures that the perfume was worth 300 denarii, which I understand is about a year's wages. So this is a very costly thing that she did. But she owed Jesus the very life of her brother. We also know that Lazarus was a friend of the disciples. In verse 11, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus. Now, I don't think Jesus was just sort of using it generically, you know. It's like, you know, everybody's our friend. And there's an interesting sideline here I was thinking about. We know about Mary and Martha quite a bit, and there's several interactions between Jesus and them in the New Testament. It makes me wonder, was Lazarus a supporter of Jesus' ministry? It seems they had some money. First of all, when he died, he was buried in a tomb and he was wrapped in linen. Now, I've done a little research and not everybody could afford that. First of all, he had a personal tomb. Okay, it had the stone. A lot of graves were common graves where they had burial grounds, where they had the catacombs and a lot of people were buried in there. But here he had his own private tomb and his own private stone. And also, where did Mary get the money to buy the 300 denarii, to buy the precious perfume? So I'm wondering if the reason that Jesus loved Lazarus, and Lazarus was in a special relationship with Jesus, and this, and I've looked and there's no way to tell this, is if Jesus and Mary and Martha traveled with him, perhaps they sent money to support them. So that, you know, there's quite a bit of relationship implied here that Mary and Martha are kind of using, they want to use their inside, you know, influence with Jesus. You know, he's sick. We know he was a believer. It's not stated there. But after all, they are sending to Jesus for help. They weren't sending to the local, you know, equivalent of a doctor because he was sick. They were sending for Jesus. What was Lazarus' problem? In verse 1 it says he was sick. Now he must have been seriously ill. I mean, so ill that the sisters sent for Jesus. Sometimes we pray, you know, when we get sick, but we begin to really seriously pray when it looks bad. And we do know that it was a serious illness, although the illness is not identified. Because if you, again, looking at the details of what's told in the story, we know that Lazarus died within 2 days of Jesus being told. We know that because Jesus purposely waited for 2 days, and remember he was telling the disciples and they didn't get it, you know, about the sleep, and you know, and he says, Lazarus is dead. Now, if you look at the previous chapter, you realize that Jesus was on the other side of the Jordan about 10 miles away when he gets the message. And he knew, supernaturally by the Spirit of God, that Lazarus was dead, when Lazarus was dead, and he actually waited and didn't do anything until Lazarus was dead, and took 2 days. And when Lazarus is dead, he said, okay, let's get up and go. And he told his disciples why. And so we have this detail, that Lazarus was so sick he died within 2 days. Now if you look at the other examples of how Jesus healed somebody who was sick, or even raised people from the dead, you really wonder why he didn't just say the word from where he was. Because the disciples said, Lord, why do you want to go back there? Because they were trying to stone you. It was physically dangerous for Jesus to go back there. So why didn't he just say the word? He did just say the word. And if you look in John chapter 4, verse 46, here's the case of an official's son who's dying or lay sick at Capernaum. Verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. That's it. Tuck that away. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. The same request. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. I don't want to take the time to go to your place. He's healed. Goodbye. But in this case, back in chapter 11, Jesus didn't say the word. Meanwhile, Lazarus dies. Meanwhile, Lazarus has, we don't know how painful, how difficult, how tragic. But we know he went through terminal illness and died in the presence of his sisters, like people die. He went through the pain, they went through the grief and the sorrow, while Jesus was 10 miles away waiting for it to happen. He didn't come personally in time. Verse 6 in chapter 11, it says, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He did this on purpose. He had a reason. Remember verse 9? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light, and when he walks by night, It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Duh. What does that mean, Jesus? Well, it means that Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. It was clear as day to him, but they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. He was waiting for Lazarus to die because it was in the purpose of God for Lazarus to die and then be resurrected, and we'll see what those purposes are. But God just doesn't play God with our lives, mess with us, have us go through pain and suffering for some sort of jollies, or, you know, just some, as if God is asleep or not paying attention. And there is a lot of pain and suffering in the world today. And I often go to the Lord and say, why? Why do people have to go through this? Why did these people have to go through this? What is the reason for it? And I want to encourage you that I believe that because God is sovereign and because he reigns, that as Cindy sang, you know, it's like, It is for our good. There are purposes. Maybe we don't understand them. But Jesus wasn't waiting in across the Jordan just for nothing because he liked the beach. And, you know, he was, you know, taking some time off. It was in the purposes of God. And we need to understand that. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. It didn't catch him by surprise. But I'll tell you what it did. It created a problem for the sisters. This is a problem we often have. We have a problem when Jesus doesn't show up on time and in the way we expect him to. Okay? We think, first of all, that God is at our beck and call and that whatever we think is right, it's going to be the way it is. And so we ask, and sometimes we don't get any answer. Well, it doesn't seem like we get answers, but God heard us and he's got something on the way. But we get disappointed, we get upset, and some people even get angry with God. Oh no, not that. Have you ever been angry with God? Please don't raise hands. I've been angry with God because things have happened that I didn't understand. And it made it hard for me to follow Jesus faithfully because I got upset with him. But he never did anything wrong. I just didn't understand. So we need to be careful here. Remember, the sisters sent word to Jesus and they got no response. They knew where he was because they sent word to him. Even if they just said, okay, let's hire a messenger and send them, let's hire 12 messengers and send them out throughout all Judea. Go look for Jesus. even if they didn't know where he was, they had an idea how far away he was. I mean, they didn't send people by boat. But Jesus didn't come and they watched Lazarus die. In verse 21, we see the attitudes of the sisters. In verse 21, Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Did it really require the presence of Jesus for him to be healed? John 4 says no. But you see, their expectation was, okay, this is how it works. Lazarus is sick. We send for Jesus. Jesus arrives. Jesus comes. Jesus says, be healed. Lazarus is healed. Yay! End of story. That was what they expected to happen. Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Now, in verse 32, later on in the story, we hear what Mary has to think about this. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Maybe they'd been talking to each other. Maybe they together had figured out what was the problem here. Jesus was late. Jesus had failed them. There were others too in verse 37, and I read this with some emphasis before. And some of them said, the Jews that were around them, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind, he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? See, the people there, they just didn't get it. They couldn't see it. And sometimes when you are in the problem and help is on the way, the solution in God is coming, you lose the big picture. And everybody around you loses the big picture. Here were the people with Mary and Martha, and they were saying, I don't get it. He could open the eyes of the blind, but couldn't he heal this guy? I don't understand. So there wasn't a lot of people who were, you know, there wasn't somebody sitting in the back row saying, I remember two other times when Jesus resurrected guys. You guys, you gotta keep the faith. You gotta just hang on. You know, Jesus is coming, and even if he doesn't come, even if he dies, Jesus can resurrect him from the dead. Even if he's in the tomb for 4 days, Jesus can bring him out. There's nobody there saying that. That's too bad, because sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need somebody just to encourage us in the faith. Says Jesus is not done. This is not the end. But they figured it was the end. The person died, that we wrapped him in linen, we put him in the tomb, we closed the door, and it's over. End of story. It's too late. Jesus can't do anything. They didn't know that Jesus Christ had resurrection power. They believed it. Jesus asks Martha, verse 24. Well, no, Jesus says in verse 23, your brother will rise again. He just says it flat out when he gets there. He says, he will rise again. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I know. Sure. I've been to Sunday school. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says, no, that's not what I mean. I am the resurrection and the life. I have power over death. I can do what I want. And in this case, you're not going to have to wait anywhere near that long. Let's go to the tomb. We need to know that we believe in a living God who has miraculous power even to this day. And God will do some things, I think, that can surprise us. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be surprised by God because he's marvelous. He's marvelous. Was Jesus too late? Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days and he did probably smell. All the professional mourners were there from Jerusalem. They'd had time to come. And verse 19, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. The brother was lost. Mary was weeping. The Jews were weeping. Lazarus had been laid to rest. It was so emotional, Jesus was overcome. Jesus wept. He felt the sorrow that everyone was feeling, although he knew it was temporary. It's good that we have a God who's been in the human form, who understands us, who's felt what we felt. Jesus went to a wedding, one of his first miracles. Here we have an occasion of a miracle at a funeral. Actually, you know, a couple of days after the funeral. But this is a funeral miracle. But Jesus was not uncompassionate, inconsiderate, or he didn't fail to understand the grief. Because the grief was real because the people thought Lazarus was dead and he wasn't coming back. We know from this story the practical reality of death. We know that Jesus has power over that. And even though they professed faith in the resurrection, Jesus had to show them that he had resurrection power. And I appreciate the fact that he didn't just scold them in some way and say, you don't believe. He showed them. He showed them the resurrection power. So I think there's some important lessons to learn from this story. First of all, Jesus hears our prayers. But sometimes he doesn't respond in the time frame and the manner in which we expect. That's his prerogative. After all, he's God. And we should try not to dictate to God how he should answer our prayers. We need to be careful about that because we could set ourselves up. Another lesson is that Jesus' power is not limited. Lazarus was truly dead. He was buried. And he was resurrected from the dead. And in the next chapter, we find that he was having a dinner with Jesus. That he was there. Again, it wasn't a spiritualized resurrection. It was a literal resurrection. We have details of his life. It's one of those few people that get to die twice. Because Lazarus is not with us anymore. So he died and was resurrected, and then later on he died again. Jesus' power is the resurrection power. Elsewhere in the New Testament says, and that same power abides in us by the Holy Spirit. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. We don't have a dead religion. We don't have a powerless religion. We have a living God who can do marvelous things in the world. Another lesson is we need to watch our expectations. They can lead you to unnecessary disappointment because you don't understand the purposes of God. And another lesson then is that part of our walk with God should be that we regularly search for the purposes of God in what's happening in our lives, that we wait upon the Lord. To his disciples, Jesus explained all this in verse 4. And I'm going to use another version of John. This is the little pamphlet, the New Living Translation. It just says it a little more interesting. Verse 4. Jesus explains to his disciples, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this. So even while this was going on, Jesus was explaining. But did they catch it? Did they get it? The disciples didn't get it. They didn't get it. And in verse 23, Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, and when everyone else rises on the resurrection day. So she had her understanding of what was going on. And she wasn't really hearing God even then, hearing Jesus. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are giving eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she says, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. She believed in him, but he'd said Lazarus will rise. She sort of gave him the spiritual answer back. She didn't completely catch on. To really get the big picture about what's happening, you need to read a little bit further than the story itself. In verse 45, which I didn't read, which is at the end of the story, part of the reason that Jesus did what he did, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. This was one of those events that was not about Lazarus in the sense, in the whole sense. Mary and Martha and Lazarus had this dilemma in their life, and they wanted Jesus to do something. But God had in mind the spreading of the gospel through Jesus Christ. And this was something that he did for that purpose. And we also see in chapter 12, verse 9, this is when Jesus had come back to Bethany before the Passover, and he's hanging out with Lazarus. They're having this dinner in Jesus' honor. Verse 9, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus. You know, this guy that was dead and now he's alive, whom he raised from the dead. So Lazarus was quite a celebrity, a living, walking testimony of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand that when they were praying for his healing so he wouldn't die. What was the outcome of the circumstance was much better for them and for the purposes of God. And Jesus was explaining this to them as things are going along, but because they had their expectations, they didn't see it. So we need to seek God and see things from his point of view, because quite often that is the way in which we can overcome the circumstances and the difficulties, is by having that big picture. The even bigger picture is revealed back in chapter 11. And let me just summarize the story for the sake of time. It was a big deal that Lazarus was raised from the dead. CNN was there, got a lot of publicity, it was spread out throughout Jerusalem. It really threatened the Sanhedrin. And it says, let's see, in verse 53 of chapter 11, so from that day on they plotted to take his life. The resurrection of Lazarus broke the straw. It was the last thing that it took for the beginning of the end for Jesus. Now, I'm grateful for that. Because if Jesus hadn't raised Lazarus from the dead, the Sanhedrin wouldn't have plotted. If they hadn't have plotted, they wouldn't have captured him. There wouldn't have been that mock trial. There wouldn't have been the crucifixion. There wouldn't have been the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There wouldn't have been salvation in the world, and I wouldn't be saved. So that the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of Lazarus was critical to my salvation and yours. And that's the, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, is that this was a pivotal event in the life of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And quite often God wants to use us in a mighty way, in a little way, that we just see the little sliver. And it's all about us and our life and us and ours and ours. But it's a part of a bigger plan. And we need to see that big plan and appreciate it and thank God for that. So I want to encourage you today, if you're going through difficult times, God is not reckless or careless or insensitive. He's hearing your prayers. If he hasn't arrived yet, he's on the way. And when he comes, you'll be glad. Just keep in mind, if it seems like he's too late, it's not too late. He's never too late. He is always on time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you raised Lazarus from the dead. I thank you, Father, that you did this so that we might believe that you have resurrection power, not just in the life to come, but even in this life, that you can overcome death and sickness, that nothing is too hard for you. Father, I thank you that you care for us and your watch care for us is so constant that we never have to worry about your being distracted or not paying attention. Father, help us with our expectations, that we don't become disappointed and have a problem understanding. Open our eyes to see what you're doing in our lives and through our lives and the life of others. We ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.